All right. So Paul, in the New Testament, loved to warn people about remembering. So here are the things that Paul recommends us, as saved people, to remember. In Acts 20, 35, I'll read it. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, working, ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Which I gotta say, my wife told me that verse today in the car. So that was kind of, I knew it was here, but she didn't know it was in my notes here. And so what is Paul saying? In the middle of the verse, he says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We just passed Christmas, and yeah, I love receiving stuff. But the Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. If you get something, great. But if you give something, it's better. So let's remember that. Let's remember that. The words of the Lord Jesus. Paul tells us, remember that. Galatians 2:10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Now, it's not clear if he's talking about just the poor, the saved poor, or the saved or the poor Jews, but it seems like a universal statement, remember the poor. So we have remember the words of the Lord Jesus and remember the poor. In Ephesians 2:11, it says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. So the uncircumcision, we were uncircumcised as Gentiles, but the Jews were the circumcision. They were circumcised as Jews. He tells us in Ephesians 2:11, he says, remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh. In other words, always remember where you came from. Because then when you get to a certain place with the Lord, you'll be able to say, oh man, I used to do that. I used to think that. I used to believe that. In my heart were those things, and now they're not there anymore. And that's glory to God. You have to remember where you came from. The worst kind of person in the world is the one that forgets where he came from. Because then you have no measuring stick and you become like bitter and angry at everybody. Okay? So we came from Gentiles in the flesh. And when we got saved in the spirit. Okay? And we were put into the family of God. So Paul says, remember that. Colossians 4:18. The salutation by my hand of me, Paul. In other words, he wrote this. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Now, I mean, you can do studies on just the remember of Paul, okay? Remember my bonds. My bonds means when I was in prison, okay? When I was shackled to stone walls because of my faith in Jesus Christ. So if you do a study just on the times that Paul went to prison and what happened there and all that stuff, it's incredible. So he says, remember my bonds. Because he had, like, for example, one time they were singing in the jail cell. The doors flung open. The Roman guard was going to kill himself because they were going to escape. So he was going to be dead anyway. Whoever let them escape gets the death sentence. So he knew that. But Paul says, hey, do thyself no harm. And then he got saved. Okay, so if we remember that, even though Paul was in prison, he was still singing hymns. And when he got the opportunity to talk to someone about the Lord, they got saved. See, he wasn't concentrating on the fact that, oh my goodness, what did the Lord do to me again? Why am I in this prison? All I do is go around, tell people about Jesus. I almost get whipped and I'm in trouble and stoned. I died even twice. I mean, what's going on? He could have done that. Most people do that today. But no, he was singing hymns. And somebody got saved because of it, because they saw his attitude. And because they saw when the prison door came open, they didn't run away. See, they weren't afraid of being in prison because they know why they were there. They knew why they were there. It didn't matter where they were going to tell somebody about Jesus. So their environment didn't dictate their attitude. So that's just one thing of remembering Paul's bonds. 2 Timothy 2:8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Unfortunately, Paul over and over again had to tell people to remember the most basic things. You say, well, how can it be that you have to tell someone to remember that Jesus Christ was the seed of David and was raised from the dead according to my gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? I mean, that's common knowledge, right? But you would think he wouldn't have to tell people that, especially people in the church. But he had to. You'd be surprised the things that Paul had to tell people in the church. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about saved people going to church. All the things he had to remember, tell them to remember. Okay? So that's part of Paul's remember monologues or speeches he had for saved people. Remember the poor. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Remember that you were once lost, Gentiles in the flesh. Remember my bonds when I was in prison. Remember Jesus Christ, seed of David. He links back to the Old Testament and the Messiah and was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Salvation in the New Testament. So if you remember all these things, you're like 99% better than most Christians are today in the mega churches with 16,000 people and what they see is concerts and have Starbucks in the back. It's crazy, but we're there. So just remembering these five verses will give you an amazing amount of encyclopedic knowledge of the scriptures. And then it's got to sink in. I mean, it goes in the brain, but it's got to sink into the heart after, right? We have to, when it says remember, we actually have to remember, not just read, remember. That's Paul's testimony, okay? Part of his testimony towards us, showing that he had great love for us. I mean, if I didn't love, let's say, my wife, and it's minus 30 outside, and I see she doesn't have her hat and her gloves on, and I tell her, and I don't tell her anything, because anyway, she's going to do whatever she wants. That's not the attitude. Paul never had that attitude. Paul knew that people weren't going to listen sometimes, but he said it anyway. That was Paul's attitude. And maybe she just forgot, and you reminded her, and she's not going to get pneumonia because you reminded her of her hat. Who knows what people are thinking? So that's Paul's attitude. Paul's attitude is, I'm going to say it anyway. I don't care who's listening and who believes it or not. And that's the way to do it. That's how you gain strength in the Lord. That's how your faith grows. Because a lot of people say no man is an island. You know, you don't stand alone and need a blah, blah. I don't believe that. I believe that you have to be able to build a relationship with God, a personal relationship by yourself with the Lord. And then when you get together with others, you have this strong faith that maybe they'll learn something from. You understand? Everybody needs to be some kind of pillar, some kind of mountain, so we can affect others, the lost or the saved, in a good way. It's a personal relationship that we need to develop. You don't build a house on sand, the Bible says. Okay? You need a strong foundation, and that foundation is personal time with the Lord. Prayer, reading, witnessing, talking to the Lord. People think you're talking to yourself, but you're really talking to the Lord. And who cares what they think anyway? It's like you might look crazy to the world, but you don't look crazy to the God that made you. There was a story of, I can't remember his name, but everybody thought this guy was nuts, even the Christians, okay? But this guy was so close to God that even lost people used to make fun of him. He would talk like out loud to the Lord, like while he was walking. He was, oh Lord, this, that, and the other thing. And he was just walking and people were going by, and that was his attitude. So one day what happened is these punks, there was an overpass in a park. Okay, he's going under the overpass and he gets a bit further from the overpass and all of a sudden he hears a voice. He goes, I think it was Billy Bray, his name. The voice says, Billy, this is the devil. He turns around and he sees the overpass 40, 50 feet away. So he goes, man, I didn't know you were that far. And he kept walking. Like they were trying to make fun of him. But he says, man, the devil's all the way back there? That's great. And he kept walking. He thought he was right beside him. You know? It's that kind of attitude that when you're close to the Lord, even when people are trying to make fun of you, you can make fun of them. You know what I'm saying? And even the story goes where this guy's... They came to him and said, listen, your wife is dead. She died. The guy started jumping up and down on the couch, all happy because she was with the Lord now. There was no record of him crying or feeling bad or nothing. He was just so happy that she's with the Lord. That level of relationship with the Lord is incredible. And maybe we should all strive to do that. Even though it sounds weird to our bones and our flesh, but it's not weird to the Lord. In conclusion, the Lord works with us with short-term memories. We are told to forget the things of the long past, and therefore the advice is, just move on. An example of short-term memories would be neglecting to give a tract to someone when you knew you should have. You know, when the Lord sometimes gives you that sense where, give a tract to that person, and you don't. Not helping out a brother or sister when the Bible tells us to. Forgetting to read or to pray or being too busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously, it all has to do with our relationship with the Lord and keeping short accounts with Him. Short accounts. The exercise of remembering at night in your bed is more for you than for the Lord. It keeps you humble and low because the point is to realize that if we look, we can find something we did or said wrong throughout the day and that we stand in need of forgiveness. This keeps us in our place. It worked for David, the king of Israel, of God's land that he loves so much. So I think it's going to work for us. Some guy had a little saying. It was anonymous, so I don't know who to give credit to. It says, when we face difficulties, we sometimes forget God's past faithfulness. We see only the detours and the dangerous path. But look back and you will also see the joy of victory, the challenge of the climb, and the presence of your traveling companion who has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And nobody knows who that guy is. And I don't even know when it was written. But man, is it powerful. Okay, he's going to get some rewards in heaven for that statement. We're on a journey. And that journey, once we're saved, we're going towards God. We're going towards Jesus Christ. We're going towards heaven, towards New Jerusalem. We're going towards there. And what we do in between is what God cares about, but not for the world, not for our jobs, not for our family, not for that. What we do for Him is what He cares about. We just learned today that a 5-year-old girl, she's the daughter of missionaries in Africa, she got malaria, 5 years old. Okay, these are the sacrifices that people make. Is she going to live? Maybe she's not. Maybe she's not strong enough to live. But you know what's going to happen with the parents if she doesn't live? They're still going to be in Africa being missionaries. Because these are the sacrifices that God calls for. He says, your body is a living sacrifice. So in this new year, what we have to do is realize that we're not here for ourselves. We're here to learn what we can learn for the Lord, to get people saved, and to just really develop a relationship with the Lord where when we die or the rapture happens or whatever, when we see the Lord, it's going to be like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. Because you're with Him every day. But if you're not with Him every day or talking to Him or reading about Him or praying or whatever, it's going to be like, oh no, I'm scared now because I'm going to the judgment seat. I don't know if I have enough rewards and all this fear comes in you. You know, but when you're talking and walking with the Lord every day, it's going to be like of no surprise when you see it. So that's the goal. It's not to be surprised when you're in front of the Lord. In the new year, that's what we have to do. Is set everything aside and make God the priority. And everything will fit into its own place. Doesn't mean you won't have trouble. Doesn't mean we won't have things that we'd rather not go through. But when you're going through it with the Lord, that's what we have to remember. So keep short accounts. Listen to King David and his attitude towards God. And we may fail, but we'll still be a success in the Lord's eyes.